It's not just good to be here, but it's great to be here. And when I say those words, it's not just the local, the place, and not the highs. This is great to be here in this 708 Georgia, but it's great to be before God today. And it's great that you pause your life today, because we're running everywhere. We are very busy, and you pause for a moment and decided to come here and hear the word of God. And also come, for sure, and worship Him. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians. If you can help me, we're going to study a few verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. You can just follow me there, but it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we live among you for your sake. Let's pray. Father, we definitely need you. We cannot live our lives without you. We can try to do it, but I ask you that this morning you can lead us to all the truth to this passage. I ask you that with power we can understand, not just with our mind, but we can definitely put it in our heart and be doers of the word. Help us as we read. And I want to ask you that the Holy Spirit and lead us what things we need to change. And I pray in the name of Jesus, amen. How many of us like the power? I'm talking about having the power. I mean, we grew up in an age, it seems like, even the movies, all these superhero movies are about having the power. We have those movies for the ones that I'm from 75. I know I look younger, but I saw all the Star Wars movie and all the new ones. And it's about, may the force be with you. I mean, you got the power. You can do it. And then we have Lord of the Rings with the power of the ring. And it seems like, not just being more serious about that, it seems like in the politics, in the church, in everywhere, people is seeking for to having the power. And we have the same in the Bible. If we see, if we can look at some of the passages where the disciples also were seeking for power. I don't know, you probably have read already some of these passages. Let me just mentioned to you Mark 10:35, and you probably remember some of the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, we want you to do something for us. And he's, okay, what do you want? And they were like, okay, we want to be with you in the glory at the right and at the left. I mean, and Jesus answered to them, you don't have a clue. I mean, you don't know what you're asking. So they were asking for a selfish, for a flesh desire. And sometimes that's what we're looking for in this world, this age. It seems like they're looking for the power. Even in our families, sometimes, who wants the remote there, the control, to control the remote, the TV, the television, right? We want the power. Also, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Let me just mention to you. But Jesus died, he resurrected, he was risen, and then he appeared to some of the disciples. And then when he was there in Acts 1:8, they asked, are you going to restore the kingdom? And they didn't say your kingdom. They said the kingdom of Israel. I mean, they wanted to restore their kingdom. I mean, they wanted to have the power above the Romans there. So they were seeking for the power. We're going to talk today about the power, the great power that we have in our hands. And it's nothing mystical. It's nothing about fiction. It's the power that you have on your hands is the word of God. We have a huge power in our hands. But sometimes we misunderstand what kind of power, what type of power God is offering to us. Let's go. Before we go, 1 Thessalonians, let me give you the introduction and let's go to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. Luke 9, 1 to 4. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And you can keep reading that passage, but Acts chapter 1, let me just go there. You don't have to look for it, but let me just mention, and this is a very well-known passage, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes unto you. I mean, there's for sure that God promised a power to the disciples and promised a power for us. But you know, this is a power with a purpose. If we finish with those two verses, and all the verses that you hear from the Word about power has a specific purpose. For example, look, I read already Luke 9, Verse 1, it says, he gave them the power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, and send them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. So the main point about this power that God gave to the disciples wasn't just to cure people or to do miracles, but all the common point of all these passages about power is the last part, proclaim the kingdom of God. Then verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes unto you, and you will be my, remember? Witnesses, right? That's why he gave us that power. It's not just to be like superhero and, oh, I have the power. There was a man in Acts chapter 8 that literally, the Bible said that they called the power of God. And it was a wizard, a sorceress over there. And he was not a Christian, but he was deceived a lot of people. You can read that later. But there's a power that God is willing to give us today. And it's the great power that we have on our hands. There's a huge power on the Word of God, of course. Imagine 100,000 to grow just this book. I mean, more than 40 people that God used to have now this book. There were people, shepherds, kings, judges, rich people, poor people, but God used them. And none of those authors of the Bible contradict one each other. It was written in Greek and Hebrew. And now we have here what we call the Bible. The word Bible comes from the word Biblos. Because Bible even doesn't appear in the Bible. The word Bible, and you probably know that. And if you don't know, Bible comes from Biblos, which means books. We have 66 books here. 39 books from the Old Testament, 27 books from the New Testament. And it's a huge power that we can have right now in our hands. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and let's see some things that the Word of God, the Gospel, the message can do in our lives. You have in your sermon notes three things that we're going to find here in this few verses. We're just going to study from verse 1 to 10. Let me read that again. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And when I start looking for the power and say, okay, my focus is going to be on power, and I start on verse 1, and I was asking the Holy Spirit to lead me on the truth, and where do I find the power here? I just found it in the first verse. I find a lot of power. Where is that power? Paul, Silas, and Timothy. It's not just the power of one man. It's not just saying Paul, that he was converted in Acts chapter 9, but there is a huge power in team effort. I mean, Paul was doing a team with Silas, with Timothy, and actually this is something that we have here in our church. Our philosophy, not a doctrine, but the way we work, which means the philosophy of ministry, is every ministry is a team. Every ministry should be a team. We don't want a ministry that just focuses on one person. We don't want even the whole church that is centered in one person. I mean, we love Pastor Matt, but he's not here today. And the ministry in the church is not centered on Pastor Matt. It's ministry in all of us, in the church. And sometimes we misunderstand that. I mean, the head of the church is? Yes, Jesus Christ is the head. Sometimes people say, oh, the head is the pastor. No, no, no. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. And we know that we have leaders, great leaders, that they are examples and model for us. But this is what I saw, a huge power here in just the first verse. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. I mean, Jesus even, he did his own team with the disciples. But here's a team effort. And then we go, continue in verse 1, to the church. I can see a lot of power in the church of the Thessalonians. In God the Father, all this power came not from flesh, came not from ourselves, but came from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue on verse 2. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers, how much power we have also in the prayer. I mean, we need to be convinced about that, that this is one of the huge part to have a prayer, because that means connection with God. If you don't pray, that means that you're not talking with Him. You don't have that personal relationship with Him. And we continue there. We remember before our God and Father, and here are three things that we're going to study. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompt by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing, if you're writing that in your sermon notes, the first thing that we have here in this verse is the work produced by faith, or work produced by faith. And when you just read like these verses, and this specific this verse, it seems like it's sometimes looks like it's very repetitive. I mean, like it's saying one another time the same. But one of the keys of a good interpretation, sometimes it's not like deep study, but it's more like use the context. I mean, we cannot take this verse and try to explain it. We need to go to all the chapter, or at least the verses after this, and it explains us that. The work by faith is mentioned also in verse 9. Verse 9, it says, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true. And then also in verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. But what is the work by faith? It refers more on the inside thing, the changes that the faith is doing in their lives. It refers to the Thessalonian conversion. They said they turned from the idols. And the first things that the faith produced is not external things. The first things that the power of the word produce and should produce on you is not like outside things, it's inside things. Jesus gave us a great example, but also he was corrected, that he was confronting the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Let me read this for you, verse 27, and you know probably this scripture well. But it says, Matthew 23, 27, it says, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, which looks beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. That's hard word for the Pharisees. And that's hard word for us sometimes when we think we are clean and we show everything up, but inside we have not changes in our lives. We've been not doing some kind of changes from the inside out. The second thing in this verse, not just the work produced by faith, but the second thing is your labor prompted by love. And this word, it tells us about the outside. Okay, once God has changed my life and I have some changes, I have change of direction, now others can see what happened in my life. Verse 7. And so you become a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith. Three things over there. They were modeled. The message rang out. But the faith in God become known everywhere. I mean, this is what God's word produced in them, in the church of Thessalonians. And this is something that he can produce in us, make inside changes, the work of our faith, but also the labor by love, which means the outside changes that others can see. And the third thing over there is your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is verse 10. The only thing that confirmed then in verse 10 is, verse 10 says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath, which means keep our hope, keep all our expectations in the name of Jesus. He's coming. I mean, we're seeking the power, we're looking for a power, and God gave us this huge power to make changes in our life, in our inside, but also the power to change a community. That's what they were doing. They changed a whole community, not just in a small place, it says in Macedonia, but also Achaia, and farther than that. I mean, are we really looking for that kind of power? Are we experiencing that kind of power in our lives? I mean, everybody wants, talking again about the power. On the last weeks, I was driving and Isaac was with me. And he asked me something. Remember, Isaac? He told me, okay, Dad, you're getting old. And I hear him, and that I was thinking, well, that's going to be interesting. Let me see what he has to say. And he's like, okay, you're going to die. And I'm like, okay. And then he asked me, can I have your phone when you die? And as same as you, I cannot stop laughing because I was like, wow. And you know something? That teaches me a lot. First thing, I'm so glad and happy because of him, because he's not afraid of death. I mean, that's one of the best parts. And we've been very close, not to death, or we don't know, but I mean from people, very close people that are with the Lord on the last few weeks. So he's understanding that. But that just showed me that he knows that there's a power on the phone. I mean, what can we do with the phone? I mean, what we cannot do with the phone. I mean, we can do everything. He knows that we can buy things. We can call. We can do a bunch of stuff. But that's the kind of power sometimes that we're looking. Power that helps us just to be on a worldly view. But we need to seek for this kind of power. Power that is changing our lives. Power that is changing our whole community. And the third thing, power that keep his focus on Jesus Christ. That's the third thing. The endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a three-fold combination, or Paul's favorite words also. If we go just some in Colossians, a couple of pages back, chapter 1, verse 3. And constantly, Apostle Paul tells us about these three things. But here in Colossians, also we find something like that. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord. This is Colossians 1, 3. Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all God's people. Can you see that? First, hearing about their faith, I mean the changes that they have been doing, but then also the love that you have for others. That's the reflection of the love we have. And then the faith and love that springs from the hope. Here are the three same things, which is the faith, the love, and the hope. And then if we go also to 1 Corinthians 13:13, we heard these three things. And when I said these are favorite Paul's trifold combination, I'm sure it's not just Paul, but it's the real author or the one that inspired, that is God. But 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three remains, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So we find here in 1 Thessalonians three things that are affecting their lives. The faith, the love, and the hope. But how can this happen? I mean, this sounds like huge, like great, like really, I mean, awesome thing. But why in 2070 sometimes this is not happening to us? And I want to go back on verse 4. And we have the last three things over there. For we know, brothers and sisters, I mean, all this happened because of this. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because, verse 5, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we live among you for your sake. So three things here. So we can make these things happen. I mean, probably you're dealing with trying to do some changes in your life and you cannot. Probably the word or the message that you have is not going, it's not spreading in your family, in your work, at your work, your neighborhood. And it's probably because we don't have that hope in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God we haven't received it completely or as well as here. First thing, in your sermon notes, it says the power of God can come to you if you receive. First thing, with words. That's definitely true. I mean, with words. You need to receive the gospel, the message, with words. But in this verse, says the gospel came to you not simply with words. That's the starting point. But that's not everything. We're going to look at the other two things. I mean, I'm sorry, it's Romans 10. 13 and 17. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But the word comes by faith, I mean by hearing the word of God. Okay, we're talking about we need to receive the message and the gospel by words. That's for sure. And the Bible says that the faith comes by hearing, right? And this is what I'm looking for. But the faith comes back in. There needs to be a point where you hear the gospel. And you know something? First step, we can mark it and say, we can check. You're hearing right now, hear the gospel. You're hearing the message. But then it's not just that. It says they don't just receive the gospel with simply with words, but also with the power. We're talking about the power. By the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can read from the beginning to the end, and you can do a study and whatever, but if the Holy Spirit is not, that's why we always need to pray before we come into the Word, so the Holy Spirit can lead us into the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He's going to explain us that for us better. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. It says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved you to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And it's not about just words and be eloquent, but it's about the Holy Spirit. And the verse 14 of the same chapter says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God." So there's people that has been reading the whole Bible and say, and there has not been a change in their lives because there's no Holy Spirit. There's not the Holy Spirit that is leading. There's not the Holy Spirit that is guiding. And these people from Thessalonians, this church, they received not just by simply words, which means just a philosophy. And probably you come here every Sunday, and we come here every Sunday, or people go to the church, and they are hearing the Word, and seems to be right for their minds. But there's not a change of life. There's not a change of habits. The Word is not running to them, to others. Because the Holy Spirit, we haven't received this Word through the Holy Spirit. What that means? We don't need that new experience. We just need to have the hope in Jesus and depend on Him. And ask Him to be our Lord and Savior, as Romans 10, chapter 9 says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe it in your heart, you will be saved. In Ephesians chapter 1, tell us about how He came, the Holy Spirit, once we decided to follow Jesus, to put our hope in Him, to recognize who we are and who He is. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to our life. And now the temple of the Holy Spirit is not this place. A lot of people think like the building is where the Holy Spirit comes. No. Paul says in Corinthians that the Holy Spirit has a new temple that is our bodies. But if we're just receiving the gospel and the message and the Word with simply words, that is not going to affect and change our lives and our society. So we need to receive, and we need to start doing that. And probably you already do a profession of faith, but something is not working. It's because probably who is leading your life is not the Holy Spirit, but it's your flesh. It's you. The third thing over there, they just not receive the Word with simply the gospel with simply words, but with the power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. Which means live convinced. I mean, have the conviction of what we have, of what the message is telling us. Live according to what the Bible is saying. I mean, Pastor Matt and I'm basically finished with this series about no regrets. But Pastor Matt, on the last weeks, every week he has mentioned to you guys, to us, what will happen if you know that you have just 2 weeks of life? And he sent some emails and people answered this, but and every week he mentioned that to us. And I wanted to close Not just remember that, but try to change that a little bit. And what will you do if you know that this is your last day here on earth? Did something will change? Definitely. If you know, what happened if you really have the conviction of say, okay, today is your last day of life. Bunch of stuff will change. You won't focus on the work of the material things or the financial. You will work. You will focus on the hope, on the faith and the love for sure. And the Bible says that the Lord is coming, and nobody knows when is that going to happen. In Luke chapter 12, there was a man that was building and has been very successful. And then the Bible says, what are you going to do with all that things that you have been doing? I mean, today, somebody's going to come for your soul. And what's going to happen? So in order for the Thessalonians to change, to do changes in their lives, to have outside changes with other people and be a model and imitators of the Lord and have their hope, they receive the gospel and the message in these three ways. Not just by simple words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. I don't know where you are exactly in your spiritual life. You don't know probably where am I, but one thing I'm sure, we need to do some changes in our lives. Still, God needs to do changes in our lives. It seems like most of us receive Jesus and we've been here at the church, but sometimes we kind of stuck there and we don't go farther than that. Is there something in your life that needs to be changed? The Bible says that He has not completed the work that He started with you. So you say, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm a good person, I do nothing wrong. Well, probably we can start becoming as the Pharisees and saying, oh, we're fine, we tied, we're fine, we look okay, we need to do changes in our lives. Probably the Word of God is not running from you to the others. Probably your conviction is like, well, I trust in God, I believe, I read the Bible, but I don't live like it's the last day of my life or the last 2 weeks of my life. I live like, well, we need to still do more financial and more, which are not sinful things, good moral things, but we're not focused on the spiritual things. There's somebody here that needs to change something in your life today. Yes. 2-3 hands. Thank you. We are sinners. We have been justified by Jesus, but we all need. And sometimes changes are not there because probably we're receiving Sunday by Sunday or day by day just the message like a philosophy, like a word. And we're growing in knowledge, but we need to let the Holy Spirit work through the Word in our hearts. And then you don't have to worry about doing things. Those are going to be the results of a life changing by the Word when you receive it, not on simple words, but the power of the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Is there something you want God to change today in your life? Yes, I'm sure. Don't you want that the gospel and the message run from you and you be a model and you be a testimony for others? Probably we want that. Are you living convinced that the Lord is coming and you're not ready? Today I want to encourage you, but also challenge you to go out from here and live a life like that, like the Thessalonians. Receive this word, not in simple words, but the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is not leading your life, today can be day of salvation for you. Just ask Him to come into your life. Just ask Him, open your heart and tell, I know who you are. I recognize you are my Lord and Savior, and I want you to come into my life. And then changes are going to start doing in your life and in your family and your community. Let's pray. Father, we need a lot from you. We need to change a lot of things that are not okay in our lives. We need to be more convinced of what we're reading and live according to that. Help us to have this church from the Thessalonians be an example for us so we can receive the word every time we go to our Bibles, not simply words, but the Holy Spirit, and we request the Holy Spirit to lead us and to do changes, and we can live convinced, and we can live according what you tell us on your word. Thank you, Father. If there's somebody here that have never received Jesus Christ, before I finish with the prayer, I want to ask you that you just can do what Romans 10:9 says. If you confess there in your place, you can pray to the Lord and ask Him to be your Savior and ask Him to send the Holy Spirit to your life. And then changes. Change of direction will come into your life. You need to repent from all your old lifestyle and come to Jesus. Father, thank you for the power of your word that can change our lives, that can change communities. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in us. Thank you for your church. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.